All right, guys, what's up? What's up? Welcome back to another episode of the NRL Hunter podcast, brought to you by Six Hour. I know it's been a long time since we've been doing these. They've been kind of sporadic this year, but we're hoping to get these more consistent. And to help me stay on track and in focus, I have a gentleman that is, I would say, a new friend, Mr. William Ryder. William, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you.
Good.
I always like to start these shows off so the audience can kind of understand who you are and what you do. Can you just give us a quick rundown about you?
Yep. So my name is William Ryder. I've been in the Army about 15 years, so give or take. I do absolutely nothing to do with combat arms or shooting. I do IT, router switches, help desk stuff. I got into the shooting stuff probably about October 2019, I think, was my first precision rifle match. And then COVID happened, and then I mobilized to Poland during that. So really, this has been my first year of heavy competition in the precision rifle world.
Nice. So when you started in 2019, I mean, there was a lot of different groups having matches. Mm-hmm. And you're based, if I'm not mistaken, you're based Southeast, right?
Right. So I live just south of New Orleans right now. At the time in 2019, I lived in Greenville, South Carolina. So there's a lot of stuff up and down the East Coast. I focused at that time. My first match was gas gun stuff, the Quantify Performance series.
Right.
And then Drew Walters hosted like a 1 day gas gun match next APRS. And that's kind of what got me into the precision rifle stuff, because I started shooting people like Scott Peterson, Tyler Payne down there at Arena. And when they hosted their first NRL match last year, I was in the process of moving down here, so I didn't get to make it. But I wanted to go to it, and that's what introduced me to NRL Hunter. And that's how I got into the rabbit hole that I'm in now.
Nice, nice. So 15 years in the Army, I would imagine, you know, you said that during the first Arena match, you were in the process of moving. You move around quite a bit, but have you just shot just a quantified performance before? I mean, or did you shoot PRS matches as well? Or did you just go from QP to NRL Hunter?
So I went QP and I did a couple of those. I did a few years of that. Like I said, 2019 within COVID and mobilization to Poland. And then when I got back, I did some gas gun PR, like I shot the gas gun division. Okay. I was right there in South Carolina, so I had like Pig River in Virginia, stuff like that. Nothing horribly far. So I haven't shot a bolt gun I've shot a bolt gun once in a PRS match, and it was basically an NRL light gun at that point. I had no idea what I was doing, forgetting to dial in between targets and stuff like that. And so yeah, it was a train wreck, so to speak.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, I think for most people that just start off in the precision rifle game, I mean, for the first several matches, if not the first year, it kind of is a train wreck, right? You're figuring out what to do and how to do it. And that's kind of why I wanted to touch base with you on the show. I mean, ever since I got to know you through the NRL Hunter, you have been, like, to me, or at least from my perspective, you've been a huge supporter of the NRL Hunter series. I mean, you're constantly posting, you're reposting, you're talking about the gear you're using, how you're traveling. I mean, you're going through quite a bit. And so I wanted to, you know, have you on the show here and find out what it is that NRL Hunter brings to you as somebody getting into precision competitions for the first time. Like, what draws you to the NRL Hunter?
I like the thinking on our feet aspect of it, where everything is blind. The problem solving, I'm a very like troubleshooting type focus. So in the Army with IT stuff, there's a lot of troubleshooting. Something's broke, you got to figure out how to fix it. And usually you're on some type of time crunch because your boss is like, fix this shit. So for me, I like this aspect of just trying to think, this is the problem. Here's what I need to do and let's do it. And I think that's what draws it to me the most, is that there's not a same stage at every match you go to. There's, you know, you don't run into the repetitiveness of it. Even if you go to the same facility, there's so many different ways to use the natural terrain there, so many different places to hide the targets. You know, there, I think it's that, it's the difference of it that is what draws me to it.
All right, that's cool. So, I mean, you like the pressure. You like working under stress.
I don't know that I like it, but I guess you could say I get that that natural high off it, kind of like people have runner's high.
Okay.
When I'm on the clock, it's I'm not thinking about anything else in the world. Like it's just that's what's on my mind right there, and it allows me to zone out and to get away from whatever else is going on in my life at that point. And it gives me some time to just be away from everything.
That's awesome. That's cool. So you get just super hyper focused at the task at hand.
100%.
Nice. So then that's going to lead me to my next question. So this year, I've seen you shoot as an individual, but I've also seen you shoot as a team. And you
That's
shot
correct.
as a team with, I believe he was a first time NRL hunter shooter.
Yep, his name is Li Ta Lai. He lives in Casper, and we went to the Cody match. Him and I, that so funny enough, that's the second time we'd ever met in person. We've been
Wow.
internet friends for a long time, and we actually he flew from Casper down to Arena for one of the QP matches, probably 2 years ago or something, like 2 or 3. It was one of the first ones. And but we've been internet friends for a long time. And I was talking, we're in a group chat kind of thing, and I was telling him about, hey, I'm coming up to Cody. You're like 3 or 4 hours away. Do you want to do this? And he was like, nah, man, like I don't like waiting around. I don't like just sitting there. He's used to like PRS, USPSA, IDPA, where you sit there, you wait for the stage, you get your 30 seconds, 90 seconds of glory, whatever it is, and then you go wait for another 45 minutes or an hour. And I was like, dude, it's not like that. Trust me on this. If you want me to, I'll come shoot it with you as a team. Because he was also like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Right.
I was like, it's really not that difficult. Like, we work as a team, we'll get it figured out. And he had a great time. He's talking about shooting one next year himself. And then Alex, the guy that has been following us around with the camera to those matches as well, he's going to shoot one next year. So they're actually supposed to come down to Georgia at some point, or Alabama, in the next few months and take a class with a buddy of ours. Going to start getting into the training business. He's going to start. And so they're going to come take a class of his.
That's awesome. So you got another two hooked.
They're good. Like, and then at the finale, one of my buddies, one of the newest members of the Army Reserve marksmanship team as well. But they do service rifle stuff, like wearing the jacket at Camp Perry, the glove, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So one of the guys that's been on that team for a while, he lived out in Utah, or still does. He drove out to the Grand Slam on his motorcycle just to see what a match was about, hung out with us for the weekend. And while he was there, he actually bought a set of binos from the SIG reps. Like, he's already into it too.
That's awesome. That's
So, and hopefully in a couple more years, the reserve team is going to start to branch out and have
team members come shoot.
NRL and more action-driven sports instead of just the Camp Perry style shooting.
Right. No, I know that, we see some of the AMU guys, the Army Marksmanship Unit guys, and we see, especially when we come down to Arena, there's a huge military presence down there. So we see a lot of guys from the armed forces that come out and they come out sometimes with some of their service weapons or issue weapons, but they shoot in what we call the skills division because they don't make weight because a lot of the stuff that they're issued just doesn't qualify weight wise. And then some of the guys come out and you would never know who they are, and they're just running factory off the shelf rifles, and they're just out there kind of having fun. So it's great to see, in my opinion, it's great to see our armed forces families out there getting more involved in the NRL hunter, whether it's for personal fun or something that they're kind of upping their skill set for.
No, 100%.
Lethality is the name of the game.
Game in the Army, and the more lethal we are, the better we are.
Right. So I don't know that I've ever asked you, but do you hunt as well or?
So, growing up.
My family is all originally from Pennsylvania. Grandfather was a huge hunter, went to all the NRA bankers, wildlife, turkey banquets, all that stuff. So I actually grew up in Georgia though, because my dad was in the Army, so I was an Army brat. We would wake up, go out to the deer stand. I'd fall asleep in the stand every single time. So I have nothing ethically, morally against hunting whatsoever. I'll go hog hunting, anything that's like at night under dawn, stuff like that, 100%. I'm not a morning person. And every time I go to these matches, especially the Cody one where we got up at like 4 o'clock, I'm like, why did I sign up for this? I'm not a morning person.
All right.
I will say that the
NRL though has wanted me has put in a drive though to go and do some backcountry type hunting stuff. When I was so after the Grand Slam, Brittany and my wife Brittany, our 10-year anniversary this year, so we made this into part of our anniversary trip. So we went to Cody, Casper, went at Montana. When we were in Cody, we did some horseback riding. One of the guides there was telling us about, you know, they do horseback hunting trips there where you go out for a week, you ride horses in the backcountry, you can get an elk, an antelope, a wolf, or not a wolf, a mountain goats, stuff like that. And I was like, man, that sounds pretty epic. So I think that's in my next 2 to 3 year goals to do something like that.
Dude, when you do that, let me know, because I've been wanting to do a backcountry horseback hunt, like, since I first got into hunting. I mean, that's like, that just seems like an epic adventure to go in on horse and do all that.
100%. I know there's a couple outfits in Cody, because like I said, our trail guide was telling us about it. He's a horse farrier by trade, but he's also kind of like a hired hand throughout the valley.
Right.
If somebody needs an extra guy and a horse, he's there. So he was saying like, there's different styles where you take everything in, or they'll take everything in by mule, and all you're riding in is on your horse. And then you set camp for that six days, and you go left one day, right one day, north, south, like that. And then there's other ones where you circle around to different camps as you're hunting, like looking for different places. So you stay in a different place each night, kind of thing too.
Nice. Yeah, dude, you know, either way, I've been one, that's on my bucket list of hunts. And And Wyoming, I mean, I hunted once in Wyoming and it was awesome. But Wyoming's got just some beautiful country. So it's going to be, you know, that's going to be a lot of fun.
100%.
And so 10-year anniversary with the wife, got the wife out there. Is your wife a competitor? Is she just kind of chill and wanting to watch you lay back?
She likes to compete. She doesn't like people to watch her compete. So that's why NRL is a great format for that, because the only person watching is the RO
right.
or the match director. So everything's flying. So she actually shot the one day at Arena earlier this year that Jose Gardner hosted, the Hoedown in Arena. She tied for 13th out of 47 or something like that.
Awesome.
I say tied because she lost power factor, but yeah. So that was her first practice score match ever.
So is she going to compete in 24?
Yep, as soon as we see the schedule come out, we're going to, you know, hopefully there's another one at Arena, and she's planning to go to that one as her first 2 day.
Nice. That's awesome. That's great to hear. We definitely encourage more women to get involved in the sport. And your husband and wife, man, that's a little bit brave, though.
Yeah, and so it's one of those, we've been married almost 10 years. We've been together for 12 or so, and we have a very open dialogue. Like, we don't raise our voices at each other. We don't go to bed mad. When we got married, we said, there's two ways out. You die or I die. That's just what it is. Like, it's a lifelong commitment. And
it means something to the both of us. So when we have a
disagreement, we lower our
voices, we calm down.
We discuss what it is and how we can resolve it. And if we can't, then we just agree to disagree.
That's cool. That's a very, it sounds easier said than done, though.
It does. I agree. You have both parties have to be able to put their ego in check.
Yeah.
And I also
understand that I'm sometimes not the best teacher, or I can be too direct sometimes. But as far as her learning for the match, she went from shooting to 1,000 yards off a bench like once. And then 8 weeks later, she was shooting, ranging, and engaging. So the hard, you know, she's working on trying to do the target identification now. That's the next, to me, that's the hardest part of this game, is finding the targets.
So. No, I agree. I definitely agree with that. So that's awesome. I'm super stoked, and I can't wait to hopefully meet her next season.
Yeah,
she's great. She's on. Sorry, I'm texting her asking her to bring
me some water right now, actually.
No worries.
But no,
she's great. She's from Georgia as well, and
I don't know what to say about her.
Besides, she's great, and she puts up with me traveling. You know, I went to Arizona, Oklahoma twice, Louisiana one, which is like 5 hours from here, Wyoming for Cody,
for the Gunworks one,
and also Arena. And we have
two dogs, so she doesn't get to go with
us too much because somebody's got to watch the dogs. But we got dog sitters now, and she's about to get a better job with more time off. So she hopefully will be coming to more matches next year.
That's awesome. That's very cool. So do you plan to shoot individually or as a team or a combination of?
I don't know that we're at the team
level yet, to be honest.
maybe.
And this is just purely from a cynical, like, selfish aspect. Once I qualify for the Grand Slam, we can readdress shooting as a team, I guess is the way to put it.
Gotcha.
Because she also is like, she never wants to hold me back from anything. And like I said, it's a selfish thing for me, but she would also be like, no, I don't want you to do this until, you know, you feel you're ready. Because like the one day match that she shot, initially I was going to shoot it just as another practice match. And I told her, I was like, I've already qualified. Why don't you come shoot this if you want to try it? You know, this is a great non-pressure, you know, Jose, you know, all the people that are going to be there. It's a great place. No pressure. Come try it. And she's like, she's like, I don't want to take it from you. I was like, nope, too easy. You're going to do it. Let's start teaching.
Nice. So are you teaching her as well, or is she getting outside instruction?
So I taught her initially.
And then in December,
one of our buddies
is going to be
retiring from the Army soon, from AMU. You probably know who he is out of the arena there.
Yep. And he's going to start doing his own thing.
Okay, cool.
As far as training aspect. And so that's where Lita and Alex and then I have to work that week. So I'm AGR. I'm Army Active Guard Reserve. So I'm full-time reserve soldier. You know, thank you, honey.
Hi, Brittany.
Travis says hi. Can you hear him? Oh, she saw you wave. So I have, unfortunately, we have to work that weekend. But she's probably still going to go down there and hang out with the homies and learn some stuff. And I encouraged her to do that. I was like, just because I'm not going doesn't mean you shouldn't go.
Right.
Like, you'll learn something
from Scott. Because Scott is one of probably the most influential people in my shooting career so far. You know, just being watching him shoot, shooting with him. He's super nice to ask questions to. Just an all-around great guy and great marksman as well.
Right. No, absolutely. He's an excellent teacher. He's very well-rounded and he's got a ton of knowledge. So anytime you can pick his brain and pick something up from him, you're definitely in a good spot.
100%.
So, all right. So let's get into this season versus next year. And I don't even know if you thought about next, you know, 2024, but this year you ran, if I'm not mistaken, two different rifles,
or was it more? two styles, three different rifles total.
Okay. So what did you run and why did you change it up and what do you like? And let's get into that.
Okay. So I started out with a Christensen Arms MPR 26 inch barrel, 6.5 Creedmoor. Reason I chose that is because at the time the rules stated that in factory division with hand loads, you still had to make power factor. And I'm shooting 130 grains because I have like 5,130 grain Hornady bullets from when I was shooting gas gun stuff. My gun just loved the 130s, but power factor didn't matter. So in order to make power factor with all these bullets I already have, I knew I needed a 26 inch barrel.
Makes sense.
So that's what I started with. I shot a few matches with that. Didn't do so hot. And I chalked a lot of it up to, hey, I'm a new shooter. This is new to me. And then I lost by one match to Kyle Lamb. It was Jim C's match. I lost by one point to him. He took first. I took second. And some of the shots were like 200 yards. I was like, there's no way I'm missing these. And so before the match, though, got there zero. It was a half-minute gun, 8 rounds. Like, cool. We're money. I fly back home, and the gun had opened up to a minute and a half. What? And with like 60 rounds on it, it was a minute and a half. Like after I cleaned it, you know, because I cleaned it right before I zeroed, confirmed zero. And I got home, horrible. So I take a bore scope through it, and it looks like a beaver had chambered this rifle. Like it was just horrible chatter marks on it, horrible. And so I sent the footage to Christensen, and they're like, send it in. We'll take a look at it, and if it doesn't meet our – so they have a 3-round, 1 MOA accuracy guarantee on majority of the rifles. Some are better, some are worse, but that's their majority warrant accuracy guarantee. Send it in, and they're like, hey, we got it. It could be 12 to 16 weeks or something like that. Well, this
– I had more matches the rest of the year. in between that time before I sent him back, though, I'd met Anthony Cuomo from Sig Sauer.
Right.
And also he beat me at a match, and I was missing targets at like 150 yards. It's like, I should not be missing these. Like, this is crazy. Like, there's an alligator head at Joey McConnell's match in Tennessee. Yeah,
Tennessee, okay.
And with the gun, he was like,
whoever the spotter was, he's like, your bullets are going through their mouth. And I'm like, look, it was like a gator head, so its mouth was open, like chomping. Right. And I was like, I don't know why, man. Like, this gun is
whatever. So all that led
up to me finally sending it back to Christensen. But back to Anthony, he shot one of the 24-inch born and raised crosses there.
Right.
You know, so I shot a
few out of it just out of curiosity. See, it was like, because I'd never touched a cross before, and I really dug it from the weight, the features it comes with. I think it's probably, if you get one that shoots really well, or if you can make a good load for it, it's probably the best all-around feature-wise rifle for the factory division. So
I bought one of the
– actually, I ordered two. Ordered one. SIG has a like military program
right.
Discount, so I ordered one through them, and I wasn't sure how long it was going to take. So, you know, me
being not patient, I went and ordered
one through Battlehawk Armory. They had some of the Born and Raised editions marked down to like $1,600.
Okay.
They normally go for like
19 to 2,000, give or take. Yeah. So I bought one of those, and then they both came in like at the same time. So I'm not a huge fan of like billboards, like the Born and Raised Outdoor part on it. I was like, it's, you know, it's a little showy for me.
Right.
So a guy named Abel Roman runs a Cerakote shop out in Texas. Been buddies for a while. He's like, hey man, send me something to Cerakote for you. Like, I'm happy to see how you're performing, how you keep posting stuff, you know, similar to how you asked me to come on, just because I'm enjoying life and I'm posting stuff on the internet for other people to see. I'm not hiding stuff. And he's like, send me one. So I sent him the Born and Raised one to, you know, because he was going to cover it up. So that's the one I actually shot at the Grand Slam. In the interim, the other rifle, it's no longer the Born and Raised edition. It's the same exact rifle, but without the engraving. It's called the GRY for gray. I don't know exactly what all changed, if they changed anything, but the markings on the barrel are actually different now too. And the GRY one from the factory shoots slightly better, like same hand loads, like gun, left gun, right gun. The GRY one shoots like, I don't know,
a quarter minute
better, give or take. Like, it's not crazy drastic, but it's, you know, it's noticeably different.
So that's the three rifles
I shot this year. And then next year, I continue. My plan is to shoot factory until I build either an open light gun or an open heavy gun out of prize table pickups.
Nice. Okay. Well, and you're doing very well in the factory division, though.
I was.
And then the Grand Slam, I ran the new SIG, the one that I just got back from Cerakote. And it was one of those like last minute decisions I really shouldn't have. I should have just shot the one I've been shooting all year that I've been doing well with. But, I did it for, I would say, a little bit of publicity for the guy that went through the effort of Cerakoting for me.
Right.
Alex was there. I was like, let's get some great photos for this guy. Like, he put in a, him and his wife put in a lot of effort to do a really good job on it. And, you know, that advertising might mean more for them than, you know, an extra point or two for me.
Right. No, and I don't know. I know you actually answered the question on the social media on Facebook, but it's not a multi-cam pattern, but it's a... What did you call the pattern again? A frog something or something?
Yeah, so
it's frog skin inspiration. It's inspired by frog skin, which is a Marine Corps pattern from like World War II, Vietnam kind of era, if I remember correct. So I got a buddy that works at Badger Ordnance, and they send out koozies anytime you order stuff from them.
Right.
And there's one koozie. I'll show it to you. They won't be able to see it, but it has like a pack of Pall Malls on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a pack of lube on the, and it's the frog skin pattern. And I just really dig that pattern for some reason. I don't know why. And I just do. And so I sent him that koozie, and he does some stuff for Badger as well, Cerakoting some of their parts, their safeties and stuff. And I was like, hey man, just take your time. Something like this is the ballpark at once. I never even actually saw it till it got back to me.
Nice. Well, the photos of it look good. Okay, let's go back to that Born and Raised, you know, engraving on the side of the cross. So I'm right with you. I didn't like that either. I mean, we got a couple of the Born and Raises for the loaner program and for everybody to use. And it wasn't my like it wasn't my favorite thing, like to the point where I was trying to figure out how to get a sticker placed on it, right? Nothing against the born and raised guys. I think they're great. I've met them. I think they're awesome people. Their primary focus, you know, in the past has always been archery, which it's so didn't make sense to me. But I don't really like repping brands that's just the way I am, right? So when you got it covered in Cerakote, I sent mine, Justin Gray, Red American Cerakote. He did the same thing. He's like, can I paint one of the rifles? So I gave him a born and raised. How did your covering come up over that mark, the born and raised marking? Did it come out decent? Because I haven't seen the one Justin did yet.
I would say if a 10 is you can't see it and a 1 is it's not, it was never covered up, it's probably a solid 8. Like you have to be looking for it. Like it doesn't show up in photos. If you're not looking like 2 feet away, 1 foot away in your hand looking over it, it's great. It's definitely not showing up in photos.
Nice.
And once again, it is nothing
against the born raised outdoor guys at all. I've never met them, but I follow them on social media and I have nothing against them. It's just,
if it's a billboard,
I want to say what's on it. Just like the stickers on my scope. I put stickers for companies that have helped me throughout the years and nothing against them, but I can put something else there. That's all.
No, yeah, it's the exact same thing, right? It's a, you know, it's our real estate to do what we want with it. So, okay, so Christensen's out of the picture then? You're going to keep shooting the cross next season, or are you going to give them a chance?
So, Brittany is shooting the Christensen now.
Now that it's back, the barrel, so the gun came back way sooner than they said it was going to. And she put down numerous like half minute groups at 300 yards on paper. So she shoots that gun. The gun's a great weight balance for her. That's what she shot at the arena match. So that's what she's going to shoot. I gave her an option to shoot one of the crosses before I sent it off her Cerakote, and she chose the Christensen. She just liked the ergonomics of it better for her specifically. So that's what she plans to shoot next year.
Okay. And so let's run down your cross that you're planning to shoot. You have the 24 inch, what used to be known as the born and raised cross. It's now GRY or whatever designation they're giving it. 6.5 Creedmoor.
Correct. Yep.
That particular model has the built in Arca rail on the fore end. Right. What optic are you running?
Loophole Mark 5
with the PR2 reticle, 5 to 25. And then I'm also running their competition dial. So instead of going like 1 to 25 or something on the like the numbers, it goes 1 through 10 are huge numbers. Like you have to be blind to not see it.
So with this game, typically you're not shooting
past 1,000 yards because the rules state you can't. So and for my rifle, I'm not dialing past 10 mils until I'm like at 1,100 yards or something like that. So this competition dial just makes it that much quicker for me to be able to see the number. And it's a loophole factory option. Like it's like $50 or $60 for this extra cap. And I run it on all of them.
So I have the same optic, but I didn't have that competition cap. I didn't even know about it until you just told it to me. And I'm wearing a loophole shirt.
So that's another great thing I've come from taking away from NRL is the networking aspect of it. The companies that are sending their reps to these matches are sending people that are truly happy to be there, truly wanting to shoot. The Robert Brantley's from Manners and GA Precision, the Nick Kitlicka from Loophole, Anthony Cuomo, Aaron Scoble from Sig Sauer, stuff like that. Jacob Morrow and Jane Quinlan and Preston All from Hornady, they are wanting to be there because they are hunters or shooters as well. And so when I was at the Arizona match, Josh Reeves and Mark Bean's match, I happened to see Nick there wearing a Loophole vest. Never met the guy before.
Right.
I'd heard the name. Couldn't put a face to it. I came up, I was like, hey man, do you work for Loophole? He's like, yeah, I do. What's up? And I told him like some of their first batches of speed dials, they call it a competition speed dial or something like that, but they didn't actually change the labeling on the top. And then the numbers were exactly centered. So if you dialed to 5.5 mils or 5.6, it might come up as like 5.675, like in between the 0.6 and 0.7.
Right.
And so, because the first question he's like, how old is it? I was like, it was like the first run. He's like, all right, here's my card. When you get home, shoot me an email. I shot him an email. He sent me 2 brand new caps. It's the customer service from the people that are coming to these matches from the companies is fantastic.
Yeah. And see, that's something, I mean, that's cool that you touched on that. That's something that we're actually trying to grow tremendously too every year. I mean, if you, I unfortunately, you know, I didn't make the first day or 2 days of the Grand Slam, but, you know, I saw all the vendors that were out there and so on and so forth. And we're trying to make each one of the events more open to the vendors to come out to meet with the community and the community get more hands-on with the gear that they may want to, you know, implement in their hunts or in their competition or whatever it is. So that's cool that you actually are gaining benefit from that, because that's what it's about.
Oh, 100%. So at the arena match, and also let's just for the record clear that you weren't there because you just had a kid, so it's completely understandable.
Yes.
At the arena match, I lost to Matt Alwine for factory, but I was still fortunate enough to get a Manners LRH stock off the table.
Badass.
And Robert Brantley was there, who works for Manners and stuff like that, and he saw me pick it up, and he was like, oh, great, cool. I'd never met Robert before, never even heard his name before, because right. That's how new I am to precision shooting. And he's like, hey, I'm Robert. Here's my number. I work for Manners. You got any questions with it? Give me a call. Turns out we live like 4 hours away from each other.
Yep.
And now him and I are going to shoot the grind in a couple weeks, and it'll be my first, like, match like that ever. So I'm kind of nervous, but I'm excited also.
You're going to be his AM.
I am his AM. And everybody I've told them, yeah. Like, oh, man, y'all are going to smoke it. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm having a bar. Right? I don't have a single rifle that weighs over the 12-pound right now.
Right.
So he posted a photo of a 6 Creed rifle today. He's like, I thought we were shooting 308s for the grind. He's like, I don't know, we'll figure it out the day before or something like that. And that's just how he rolls.
So Robert's awesome. I mean, he's a match yes. for us. He is I love Robert, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but he looks like a good old boy, good old redneck from Louisiana. He's sometimes yeah. when he talks fast, he's hard to understand because he's got that, you know, he's got that accent, but he is like, he's a good, solid dude, and he'll do, I mean, he shoots matches, he hosts matches, he ROs other people's matches, mm-hmm. and if there's anything that you need and it's in his truck, it's yours to use. So
100%.
He's a super, super solid dude. Sometimes he's a little bit hard to reach, but that's just because he's busy. But, you know, when you're do so many things that he does, you know, that's understandable, right?
Yeah. So let's also give his family some of the credit. His wife keeps him on track. His parents come in and help. He has a great support. His family, the Brantleys in general, are just some of the most top-notch, down-to-earth people I've ever met. And I thank NRL for that, because if it wouldn't have been for that match, I might have never met Robert or his family. And they've, you know, taken me in and helped me with stuff as far as shooting matches and giving me a place to crash for a match if I, you know, yep. it's so far away or whatever. Just fantastic people.
Yeah, they're good people. And I mean, at his match, I stayed across the street from his house at his hunting cabin. I don't know if it was his uncle's or one of his family members' hunting cabins. It was just awesome, right? He's just good people. I don't know. So I don't follow much of what the PRS does anymore because I'm wrapped up with hunter stuff. I think you're going to have a great time at the Pro-Am. I think that you're going to have a great time out there. Just have fun, man. And if there's anything that you need gear-wise for that, let me know. And if I have it, I'll ship it out to you.
I appreciate it. Robert told me all I got to do is show up and just show up. Like,
yeah, I mean, I have a lot of rifles. Robert probably has 10 times what I have.
When we first started talking about it, he's like, well, I was like, dude, I was like, I can shoot one of my crosses because, like, that's what I've got set up right now. And he's like, dude, just come up. We'll find something. You know, we'll pick something out of the safe or whatever. We're going to try and shoot the same caliber just so that way, you know, whatever his wind calls are going to be, then he can coach me on it. So that's kind of the game plan.
Cool. Now, y'all have a lot of fun. I wish you guys the best of luck with that.
Well, thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's get back to your rifle. On your rifle, so we have the Mark V sitting on top. What muzzle brake are you running? Or are you running suppressor, or what are you doing there again? I forgot.
So no suppressor.
And mostly just because of the weight factor.
Right.
And I don't want to go down to like a 3-18 or a Harris bipod. So I'm running on one of the crosses, I'm running the APA Fat Bastard, the Mini Bastard, something like that, Gen 3. And then I had one of their Gen 2s on it
For the Grand Slam on
the camouflage one I shot. But during their Labor Day sale, they're running like 30% off. And they gave another 15% off for military. So I ordered a few more of their latest Gen 3 brakes and some bottom metal for that Manor stock as well. So I'm going to try
45%
those
off
out.
on you.
Well, it's
30% off, then you got another 15% off whatever the 30 took it down to.
oh yeah, dude, that's
So 30, th yeah. So you know Cale Harmon,
yeah.
one of the AMU guys. He's also been really helpful. Shooting and information stuff like that. Shot with him at the QP stuff as well. Shot with him at NRL, and then he swears by the APA. So the one thing that I've learned a while back is like take advice from people doing what you want to do, because
Absolutely.
obviously it works for them. Always take advice, but listen a little harder to the guys that are doing what you want to do.
Right. No,
So.
absolutely. It's one of the first, I don't know, not first, but one of the many mistakes when I first got into this sport was I literally would just buy anything that was new and flashy and looked cool. And it was like, I've got so much crap that I'll never ever use. I've got so many different stocks or chassis that, I was like, oh, that's the new one. And I'd buy it and it never worked, and I'm horrible at reselling things. So, just sitting here collecting dust, right? But when
Yep.
you can find people to point you in the right direction, they'll not only, give you for the most part good advice, but they'll help save you some money and get to where you want to be faster.
100%. I'm the same way, and so I've learned to, try a few things out, try some different stuff before you go buy it. Find somebody who's got it. YouTube has been a godsend. So actually, a lot of your videos from last year's NRL season
Right.
helped me watch, like, learn about the match format, stuff like that, and gear wise. So I like the gear review videos you did in the
Yes.
trailer.
Yep.
Those were really beneficial.
Yeah, I think so this year was a weird year for us. Not only did we have a baby, my media guy Nick, I think you met Nick, I'm not sure. Nick was doing all our videos. He and his wife got pregnant as well. They actually had their babies a few days before us.
Okay.
So like his whole freedom of traveling to matches with me and doing all that, it got cut. It was like, I got a pregnant wife, I gotta be here for, doing the wife and family thing, so no more traveling. So we didn't shoot a lot of video this year, which is really bumming me out. But we did at the Cody Wyoming match meet a new media gal who's working out really, really well for us. Sarah, she was at the Grand Slam. And
Okay, yeah.
so we're hoping to implement her a lot next season and get a lot more of those videos and things that, back on par. So
Right on. Yeah, I think any
Type
type
of media like that is great for people to that want to learn, that are hesitant, because it takes a special kind of person to just show up to a match without doing any research. Like there's guys that'll just show up, like, but I'm also like, I'm not that guy. I'm doing all the research I can, because I hate sucking at stuff. Like, I hate it. Like, I don't want to be the last guy. I manage expectations. Just at Mark Reeves and Josh, or Mark Bean and Josh Reeves match,
Mark
I
Reed,
knew.
I'm gonna tell him that.
I'll text him after and tell him. But yeah, no, I showed up there, and there, got to talking to him after like day two or whatever. And they're like, so what made you come all the way from Louisiana, like, to come shoot this match? Like, of all the matches, this is your first one. Why? And I came in like the bottom 30%. I was like, because I'm shooting the arena match in like a month, and I got to beat my friends. Like, I can't go there and get waxed by everybody else. And so the only way to get some experience was to fly out here and try it. And like, I don't know anybody out here. I didn't know at the time, but Robert was there. But I knew nobody out there, and I actually ended up rooming with a guy that was in the Facebook group. He was like, hey, has anybody got an extra bed or room? And I was like, well, I'll split my hotel with you. So yeah, I don't even know where I'm going with that now.
No, I mean that's cool. That's one of the things that like I've noticed about you is you are very like open and welcoming as well. Like you're always trying to give people assistance, whether it's advice or you know, physically when you're at a match, if you're trying to help them with something, if they're, you know, if they're green as well or whatnot. And I think that's badass. And like I said, you know, the content that you're putting out, it's real, if that makes sense. You know, it's like you're putting out stuff about stuff that you use and how you do things, not trying to promote necessarily a certain brand or a certain whatever, but rather promoting what works for you. And I like that. I respect that.
I appreciate that. I
grew up in a very Southern Baptist family. Do the follow the golden rule, you know, help others or do unto others as you have them do unto you. So I'm a big believer in karma. So Me helping out people is just the way I was raised. And I appreciate that you noticed that, because it means my parents did a good job. And I think if the world would just do more of that, and less cynicalism, or cynicism, I don't know what the word is, but if people were nicer, we would have a better world.
And the world needs that right now.
Yeah, a lot of people are always thinking somebody's out there to get them, but you know, there's something I saw on Instagram the other day. It was like, if you have a problem with me, call me. If you don't have a number, then your problem didn't matter. Something like that. It was like, don't worry, you know, if you can't see it from where you sleep at night, how much trouble really is it for you?
Right. So. No, that makes sense. But okay, so now I have to ask, I just saw you make a post that you became a Leo Photo rep, or not, I don't know if rep's the right word, a retailer.
Retailer, yes. So what's the question?
Are you starting a precision rifle business now, a little side hustle, or is it just, I know you're a fan of the Leo Photo. Is this just fall into your lap because they're close by, or how'd that come about?
Yes, and maybe. So it did fall into my lap. I needed an adapter for a tripod, and I just started Googling. You know, it was an Amble 30, but I was trying to put on a two vets at the time. Okay. And so I Googled Amble 30 tripod adapter, and I found for Leo Photo for like $40 or something like that. Just a, you know, bowl head that it screwed onto. Ordered off their website, and I get tracking notice, and all their stuff is free shipping. And so you don't expect fast shipping with free shipping. Well, I got the notice, and it said it would be here tomorrow, like the day after I ordered it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was like, what the world? So then I look up and see where they're based at. They're based in St. Rose, Louisiana, which is just on the other side of the airport, the New Orleans airport. Okay. So without traffic, they're 30 minutes from me. So I was like, well, that's cool. And then I got to think, like, after I went to my Arizona match, I was like, man, this big old 40 millimeter tripod is not the ticket for this game.
Right.
So, but once again, I don't want to go and buy six different tripods to figure out which one's which. So I called them up. And I was like, hey, man, can I come down there and try some out before I, you know, buy one? And I went down there, and I ran into Tony Wayne. He's their director of marketing or sales, something like that. Yeah. He showed me a bunch. And we just kind of kicked it off, you know, became friends. We've traveled to a couple match or a match together. Him and his wife and the baby have been over for dinner. And,
oh, nice.
It came. Yeah. So he was like, hey, you know, we'll give you some tripods to make videos about, and whichever one you like, you keep that one. And so one of the videos I made, like the first thing I say is, hey, these were given to me. I'm being upfront with you about that.
Right.
So transparency is the biggest thing. Just don't lie to me about anything. Just be transparent.
Right.
In the world, it's a better place. So I bought a couple from them that I liked. And then they're like, hey, here's an affiliate code. You know, anybody, you give this code, Rider15, it'll save them 15%, and it'll put 10% in your pocket, whatever they buy.
Nice.
And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. There's zero work there for me.
Right.
And then I, you know, the code started getting used a lot. And Tony's like, dude, you can make more off of this if you act as the dealer. And so I also wanted to try to write some of this stuff off, because I've spent an exorbitant amount of money this year on travel, match feet.
Oh, yeah.
Between optics. It could have always been worse, because I've, throughout the, you know, here, Sport Optics, one of the large optics dealers, is on the other side of Lake Pontchartrain from me. So I befriended one of the guys there. His name's Kurt. He's their GM, and I've known him online for like 5 years also. So when I moved to New Orleans, I knew he was here.
went had
anyways, they helped me out with some optic stuff as well. So it could always be worse.
But yeah, so I tried
to wanted to write some stuff off for tax purposes. So I created an LLC, RTR Precision.
Right.
What it's going to turn into, I don't know. But for right now, it's the social media branding. It's stickers that I'm just giving stickers away though, but it's also a way to have a business to sell the tripods through in a legal way that everything is taxes and stuff like that. I have a CPA, stuff like that. I don't know what it's going to turn into, but I've got 8 more ish years in the Army. If it's going to turn into something after that, then maybe, but right now it's just a way for me to help people get Leofoto at a great price. Cause I can beat just about any price out there you're going to find. Cause I'm not taking a huge chunk of money from you. I'm passing my savings on. But RTR Precision stands for right time writer.
Okay. I was going to ask right time writer. All right.
Yep. It's also a play on writer cause it's RTR. So just kind of looks like writer. One of my buddies, Matt Mason, we've been buddies for a long time, probably
10 or 15 years now. Yeah. It had to be
15 years cause we met in the Army and, we were both in ROTC at the time because we thought we wanted to be officers, and I decided against that. No offense, but I'm just not officer material.
Right.
And while I was there, he had been trying to go to airborne school and go and go, and they just, for whatever reason, never would send him. And one day I was in class, and one of the instructors came by and was like, hey, Ryder, do you want to go to airborne school?
I was like, I guess. Like, never really thought about it.
But sure, why not? You know, 18 years old, I don't know what I'm doing in my life. And so that's just kind of where the right time Ryder always just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Just like with Leofoto. Never thought I'd move to New Orleans, but now look where I am with them. Or Robert Brantley at Arena, picking up that Manor stock off the table while he's there. So that's where the right time rider comes into play, or is the name comes from it. My buddy, you know, gave me a nickname, and I was racking my brain around a name for a long time, and I was just like, you know what? Because at first it was going to be like William Ryder Precision. I was like, eh, I'm not trying to put my name on it. It's like, not because I'm afraid of my machine or my name, but I think it's almost a little, not gluttonous, but what's the word? We're too, not prideful either, but I can't think of the word, but you know.
Gaudy? No, not gaudy.
Not gaudy, but it's just
we're vainy. It's too vanity. So I liked RTR Precision, and I just, you know, it can grow into anything that way as well.
That's cool, man. That's cool. I hope that it turns into something successful for you, whether it's just a little bit of a side hustle or a full-on business. It's funny because the NRL entity, we have probably helped start close to a dozen or more small businesses that way, of just shooters that are, you know, decided, hey, you know, I can get a deal for my friends, so let's do this and let's do that. And I'm like, that's cool, man. That's awesome. You know, you get big enough one day, remember, you know, to become a sponsor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like.
But yeah, Leofoto is making a big splash. I know that they started sponsoring a lot of the PRS, and they started with the NRL stuff. I know Tony and I have been having a couple of conversations to hopefully become a sponsor for the entire next season. So hopefully it'll turn into you know, something profitable for everybody.
Their owner, his wife's a teacher here in New Orleans. His name is Gary, and they are a U.S.-based distributor for Leofoto. Is probably the best way to explain it.
Yeah. They make good stuff. And I was going to say, there's a lot of the brand names that people buy, tripods, are actually made by them.
Yep. I know of at least 3 major ones. I won't say any.
You know, yeah, I wasn't gonna go into names. I was just like,
yeah.
You probably own one of their products just under a different name.
Yep, and I've been super happy with it. I've run 3 different style ones at different matches throughout the year. Just still trying to figure out which one, because so I like the 2-section inverted ones until you have Scott Peterson or Robert Brantley who put you in a hunting blind, and then it's too big. So I've kind of decided on a 36 mil four extension one. So
this is my theory, and I know my process isn't the most popular. I don't shoot many matches just because I'm always, you know, behind the scenes or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
when I shoot matches, I use literally the same gear I hunt with. So my tripod that I use when I'm shooting a match is a small, I don't even know what the name of it is. It's just real small, compact. I mean, folded up, it's probably, 2 feet tall or whatever. It's a small, compact, really right stuff tripod. And I can glass from it and I can shoot from it, and I'm comfortable shooting at my hunting distances, right? I'm not a long range hunter. I don't, for what I would consider a long range hunter. I'd rather get closer than take a 1300 yard or a 1000 yard shot. I'd rather, be, half that distance or closer. Right. But yep. I literally use like the 10Ks, even though they have that blue tint to them. I'm going to be using the 6Ks this year because the 6Ks don't have that blue tint, even though they only range out to 800 yards. I don't plan on shooting past 800 yards anyways. So those are going to work for me. I have my small collapsible tripods. The same thing I hunt with is what I'm going to practice with at the NRL Hunter. And I know a lot of guys are like, yeah, but I got to win, so I got to have this. And I get that. But, it's people go for different purposes. I don't care necessarily that I win. I care that I make a certain percentage of the shots that I take.
I agree with that. And so me personally, 75% is where I'm happy at with impacts right now for the NRL Hunter game. Because I started with my first match, I had 32% hits.
Right.
And, so I will say, so
you use this to almost shake your gear out. This is teaching me what gear is necessary to go on this hunt, this horseback hunt that I want to go on. Instead of taking all this crap and then just throwing it on the trail side, this has helped me shake down gear, see what's necessary, see what isn't necessary, learn a lot of cool tricks. And if you are somebody who's interested in this sport and is hesitant to jump right in, go RO a match or just go watch a match. I learned so much RO in that first match in Arizona, not only from watching other people shoot, but from the other ROs. I was like four stages in, and Trevor and Kelsey were ROing me. And they were like, hey, man, you can use your tripod for any, like, besides just glassing off of, right? And I was like, oh, crap. Because I'd left it back there for, like, I'd glass off it, wouldn't even use it the rest of the stage. Because right. It wasn't part of the game for it. That was new to me. Right. But that's back to the community is a great community. They're super welcoming. So
I would say that if you are new to this sport and you have, you have your basic fundamentals as far as marksmanship is concerned, precision rifle, I would say that learning how to use a tripod effectively is going to be your biggest, one of your biggest assets. Because if you can shoot 75% off of a tripod at one of these matches, you're going to be killing it.
Yep, right. Tripod and learning how to read the wind. So that was what was really tricky at the Grand Slam Collins match there. There wasn't hardly anything out there to read wind. And like wind is, I would say, is probably still my biggest nemesis as far as like coming up with a great wind call. But even at Collins match, I'd have a first round impact and I chase my tail for the next three positions or three targets. Like how did this hit? And then this didn't, because it was just either bad fundamentals on my behalf, because I'll never take myself out of the equation, or you just can't read the wind. Or I just got lucky on the first one.
So the way I learned how to read wind was ROE. I have literally RO'd more matches than I've shot. And I don't think I could ever catch up unless all I did was shoot matches from here on out. Right. You're able, when you RO and you're able to look through that glass and see what's going on, you can pick up so much. It's insane. To the point where, as a spotter, like a shooter spotter position, I consider myself a good spotter because I can call corrections. So like I can call correct wind, pretty good, but I can call corrections so fast, so good, because I'm used to looking through that glass. So even if my first shot isn't perfect, I know as long as I stay behind glass and I can see where I missed, I know that my second shot, as long as I do what I'm supposed to do, I can make that second shot. Like I'm pretty good at doing that. And I, so I would say, you know, with Reading Wind is get behind glass and watch what other people are doing, watch what the environments do, watch what the tells are. You know, Matt Allwine put out a pretty cool video like a month ago, you know, saying, you know, where did that hit? He had like a video of a target up and he like edge hit it or something. And there's a splash off, I don't know, off the back, off the right, whatever the hell it was. And so he put it up there and I was like, that's a great learning video, because if you can't tell where that splash was or how that splash was caused, your follow-up shots are never going to work.
Yep. 100%. And that's one of the things that I'm working on is, you know, mentally also is like, I'm still working on it becoming second nature to, hey, don't hurry up and get off the glass. Like, make sure you stay on it, see where it goes, make a solid correction. Those are the stuff that I'm working on is slowly becoming quote unquote second nature. You know, at the beginning of the year, none of that was.
No. Yeah. It's funny. Cause like you say, as an RO, you get to watch the newest guys fumble and make, you know, all the mistakes that we all made, and you're anxious to help them out and give them advice to kind of help fast track them. I've seen you do it. I do it. And that's awesome. But then you get to watch some of the guys that are like, how the hell did you just do that? Like, you still got a minute on the clock and you just clean this stage and you're so, so smooth and fast. It's crazy. You know, it's practice. It's getting out there and understanding what you're doing.
Yeah, the positions you see them shooting, like, you know, tripod
rear using a triple pull or something. I would never would have thought of that. Yeah. Or, you know, just stuff like just different ways to use gear that you don't ever think of. You're like, okay, that's it's almost like getting a free class.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Well, we're pretty close to that time. I appreciate you being on here. Is there anything that you want to add? Is there something that you wanted to say to the crowd out there?
Yes, I actually made a list. It's going to be like NASCAR. There's some people I want to thank you, say right, thanks to, because over my couple of years, first, I'm a big believer in Christ, good karma, stuff like that. So I want to thank God. My wife, Brittany, she's been my huge best supporter out there for sure. Matt Fralin runs a small company called Quarter Minute Arms. He helped me during the QP days, just getting components and stuff like that. Met this guy once at a match, and we just kind of clicked, and he was like, hey, man, if you ever need anything, let me know and I can get you some really good prices on it. And so he's been really helpful with, you know, getting bullets and powder and stuff like that. He drop ships it through his dealer program or whatever. Peterson Cartridge is one that's taken a big leap of faith on me this year. They helped me out with some brass, stuff like that, helped me with social media posts. They've been phenomenal to work with. They're looking forward to doing supporting more matches next year. Actually, I was talking to them today. And they're like, which matches are the big ones that we can help with next year? I was like, well, as soon as I get the schedule, I'll let you know.
Right. Everyone's waiting on me right now. Sorry, guys.
It's all good. Badger Ordnance, they've put a lot of the scope mounts that I run, or the C1 Maxes. I've won every single one of them off our prize table over the years. And so I'm not running them just because they're free. I run them because they're super solid. They're great people there. They're in the same parking lot as Manners and GA Precision. All three of those companies started in the same building at one point and just kind of branched out.
I mentioned Sport Optics earlier.
It's still a great place to get some optics from. The guys down at Leah Photo, they helped me out. You know, it's been a very symbiotic relationship with them. Roman Arms for doing the Cerakote stuff. What really got me into competitive shooting was what's called running gun, like a 5K, but with a two-gun match during it. So a guy named Ellis runs it called running gun, and it's what got me into liking the blind stage stuff. Because just like with NRL, you don't know what you're getting into. You know what type of targets they are, and that's it. And then Arena has been probably the place where I've shot the most matches over the last few years. Eddie down there does a great job running that place. And then I mentioned Scott earlier, Mark Smith, another great guy that's helped me out a lot. We used to live like 30 minutes away from each other in South Carolina, JBS training group there. And he's helped me a lot with the mental aspect, because NRL isn't just a shooting game. It's a gear management and a mental management as well. So I just want to say thanks to those people, those companies. They've been very helpful in helping me grow and helping not just as a shooter, but as a person. Helped
learn to be grateful for what you have
and the relationships you build, and to make sure you treasure those. So
not everybody gets
the same chances. Some of it you got to make your luck yourself, but also sometimes just being at the right time at the right place.
Yep. I hear you. RTR, right?
Yep, that's it. Circled all the way back around there. Yeah.
There you go. I am going to put this out there. When you do your horse hunt, or if you do any kind of big game hunting like that, dude, let me know. I'd love to come out and film it. And I'm not, you know, I want to film it for us for fun.
Yeah.
Let's show people some cool adventures. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's honestly, like, just from a financial standpoint, like, probably a two to three year goal.
Yeah. Whenever.
Those hunts are not cheap.
No, none of it's cheap, but you know, I mean, I don't know where life's going to be in 2 to 3 years. I mean, we could be, you know, in our, what, eighth season or whatever it is, sixth season, whatever it is, of NRL Hunter, and we could be ran by the Chinese by then. Who knows?
Speaking of next year's season, the Alaska match, is it going to happen?
No. Okay. No, So Alaska's not going to happen in 24. It's going to happen in 25.
Right, Brittany, she wants to go.
Like, we were already planning our next trip. It was going to be the Alaska trip, but I'll let her know it's 25. She might be a little disappointed, but
I got word from them that part of the land they're trying to use is BLM land, and they're saying that they're not going to be able to get permits in time for their window for 24. So they're working on permits right now for 25.
Okay. Yeah.
So
the Alaska trip is definitely that. I've never been there, want to go. So that's from hell or high water. We'll figure something out and make it there for that for sure.
Dude, you and me both. My Brittany's going to go. My daughter's going to go. We're going to do it up. But I don't know if you've ever been there. Right now, we will have a – right now, I am confident in saying we will have a match in Canada.
Okay. I did hear that. You mentioned it at the Grand Slam. That's where it was.
Yep, I've
been to Canada a few times.
Okay. I've never been to Canada, so.
Yeah. So, family being
in Pennsylvania, growing up, my grandfather would take my dad to Canada to go fishing.
Yeah.
But I'm always down. My wife's never been to Canada. She'd never been west of Louisiana until the Grand Slam. So nice. That's the other great thing with NRL. It has taken me to places that I would otherwise probably have never gone. I would have never gone to Wetumpka, Oklahoma. Like, never.
Oh,
I would probably. Yeah, but it's, you know, I'm not upset about it. It's a great place. I met some great people. I met the Streeters. I met the Kyles, Jim C. Like, all the, like, that was, it was a good match, great people. But in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, that I would not, it's a 12-hour drive for me. Like, regionally, it just doesn't make sense on a day-to-day basis for sure. But
nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going on vacation to Wetumpka, Oklahoma.
Right? But, you know, it was a good experience. And that's the other thing. NRL is just, it brought me to places, have made connections for me that I would have probably never been able to do otherwise. So I'm grateful for it.
Well, I'm grateful for you being a part of the community. Like, no shit. Like, I've noticed what you've been doing and trying to help people out and putting out good positive vibes and being a what I would call a great ambassador for the sport and the brand. So, you know, I don't think I've ever told you, but thank you. You know, thank you for being cool and doing what you're doing and helping out. And whatever we can do, let me know. And, you know, it's awesome to meet good people like you and hear your story.
Well, I appreciate it. And if anybody has questions for me, RTR_precision on Instagram, that's probably the best way to get home. Like, comment, shoot me a message. Like, I have my phone on me way too much. So if you got a question, I'll respond as best I can. I don't know everything. I'm still new at this, but I can tell you what bad mistakes I've learned for sure.
But that's cool because
thanks for your support.
That's cool because you can relate to all the new people that are coming out, are coming up into the sport and whatnot. So that's absolutely perfect. And then if you guys are listening, he is a Leupoldo dealer now. So if you guys are looking for a very good, very affordable tripod system, because they have different components that you can mix and match and kind of customize things, definitely hit up William. I know that we're talking with Leupoldo as well about the quote unquote starter tripod, like what would be a great, you know, setup without having to do all the research to figure out what you want and what you need. You know, so maybe that'll happen next year, or maybe William, you can make that happen. You know, this is the right setup to start off with or something, since all the research you've done.
Yep, I've been telling them, like, hey, I want these features with these type of knobs, and I've seen some prototypes. The best thing about them is they have a direct connection to their factory. Like,
they will literally, like, I've been there and I've showed them an issue with the tripod. They'd take a photo of it and then they're texting it to the engineer at the factory to redesign it.
Oh, that's badass. That's badass. It's great to have direct communication like that. So, all right, brother.
Absolutely.
Well, it's getting to that time. The wife just texted me that the baby's hungry and it's dinner time. I know you're a
Know.
couple of hours ahead of me, so I appreciate you taking the time this evening to sit down and chat. And like I said, man, I look forward to seeing you and hopefully your wife next season. And whatever we can do for you, man, just let me know.
100%, we will be out
There are numerous matches, and also thanks for the support and thanks for the recognition. It means a lot to know that I'm on the right path, and I appreciate that.
You're on it, brother. I appreciate you. And for all of our listeners, if you guys have any questions, you can hit up William. He find him on social media, find him at a match. He's a great dude. Whatever we can do for you, nrlhunter.org. We'll have new match seasons up soon. More podcasts coming out. I hope you guys enjoy this one. Until then, be safe. Keep shooting. Go hunt. Go do something really cool. Tell us all about it. But we look forward to seeing you guys next season. Take care.